This is the powwow edition. Hoka, hey, we're all going to get down to a little bit of powwow. If you don't know, there is a powwow coming up on Saturday here at UBC. It should be pretty exciting. So in light of that, we are going to have this powwow edition. I'm going to play a kind of a combination of powwow music, a little bit of electronic powwow music, a little bit of jams to get you in the mood and excited for the upcoming season. This is kind of, there was a powwow this weekend at TRU. Sadly, I didn't make it. School kind of restricts a lot of my time right now, but apparently it was a really good turnout. So I think that the powwow season is well underway here. And if you are in the States, it just never ends, which is awesome, but also hard because traditionally our powwow seasons were in the summer. And not all year round, but the way that the contemporary society has it, we can powwow whenever we want. And it has kind of turned into a little bit more of a competition. But as we go through the episode, I will tell you a little bit more about what's going on in the powwow world. I'm just going to play you a little intro as to what's happening this Saturday. Take a listen.
The spirit world is more real than most of us believe. The spirit world is everything.
You are invited to the second annual Nihio Pascua Itsimawan Powwow, taking place on unceded Musqueam territories here at UBC. The powwow is happening March 26th in the Great Hall of the AMS Nest. Grand entry is at 12. Come for traditional dancing, singing, food, and artisan crafts. What could be better? Mark your calendars, folks. Everybody welcome. For more information, please visit UBC Powwow Facebook group or contact the First Nations and Indigenous Studies Student Association.
There you have it. That's what's going on this Saturday. It will be our second one. I was dancing jingle dress last year. It was a lot of fun. There was actually a pretty good turnout considering it was the very first powwow held at UBC. Last year it was in War Memorial Gym and I had a really good time. This year I believe it is in the Great Hall in the Nest, in the brand new Nest. So it'll be a really nice way to welcome in the space and I look forward to dancing in it. You will see me there. I'm wearing pink and purple. It'll be great. So everybody welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous. I'm going to start this little radio show off by getting you into a little bit more of like a morning groove. And I'm going to start you off with a little Tribe Called Red, Electric Intertribal featuring Smoke Trail. It is definitely not traditional powwow music, but I think you'll like it. And I think it's a good way to start the show. We like diversity here at UBC. Check it out.
We'll be right back.
Well, welcome back to Unceded Airwaves, the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9. My name is Willow Thixon. I'm your host today. I'd like to raise my hands in thanks to the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations for hosting us on this beautiful unceded territory. You were just listening to A Tribe Called Red, Electric Intertribal featuring Smoke Trail, a little casual way to start your Monday as we are gearing up towards the powwow and gearing up for the end of the semester. I felt like it was like a nice steady intro. I'm going to jump right into playing you some powwow music all day, prepping for the powwow on Saturday. So, well, come join us in the Grand Hall. I'm going to play you a little bit of I said earlier that I was a jingle dress dancer, so I'm going to play a little bit of Whitefish Jr. It's an honor song for the jingle dress. It's a song that is a sidestep song, so there are multiple dances for jingle dress dancers. There's a more contemporary style, a traditional style, and then our traditional dance, which is a sidestep, and it is exactly like it sounds, like you literally just kind of step to the side with a bounce, and you're bouncing on the beat. Our jingle dress is actually a healing dance. I will tell you a little bit more about the healing dance and our jingle dance after our Whitefish Junior's honor song for the jingle dress. Check it out. Hey, welcome back to Unceded Airwaves, the Indigenous Collective here at UBC CITR 101.9. I'd like to raise my hands in thanks to the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh Nations for hosting us on this unceded territory. You were just listening to Whitefish Junior's honor song for the jingle dress. I was telling you a little bit about the dance that I dance at the powwow on Saturday. So I said that I would tell you a little bit of the origin stories of the jingle dress. So powwows have kind of varying origins depending on where you come from. So it kind of referred to a gathering of medicine people or spiritual leaders. And this is my interpretation, like what happens in you get kind of gifted or as you are raised with knowledge, you're allowed to tell different stories. And this is my interpretation of the stories that I've been told. And they will kind of they will vary from community to community. But for the general sake, it was a gathering of medicine men and spiritual leaders. And it was a religious ceremony. So for Anishinaabe people, it's one of our action lodges, and it was a big, it used to be a formal ceremony, and now it's kind of a blend of dance, family reunion, and festivals, and they're pretty famous for pageantry and colors, but back to the jingle dress. Oh, yes, back to the jingle dress. Okay, so I'm a very proud jingle dress dancer, and I said earlier that it was a healing dance, and what I meant by healing dance is its origin is to heal, and it's an honor to be able to dance the healing dance. So originally it comes from Whitefish Bay, which is a First Nation in northern Ontario, well, northern-ish Ontario, northwestern Ontario, and there's kind of various versions of the story, but it originated with a lady called Maggie White, and she was really sick and gave no signs of recovering. So her father gifted tobacco, which is one of our sacred medicines, and offered it for the creator's assistance in making his daughter better. And so the father was very, very, very distressed, very upset, and apparently assistance came by way of a dream in which his father was shown how to make a dress and how to instruct his daughter to dance that would accompany this dress. And as she danced, she put the dress on, or she didn't put the dress on as she danced. She put the dress on and danced, and as she started dancing the way he instructed her, she got better and better and better and got stronger and relieved of her illness. And so that girl was Maggie White, who ended up, like, she lived for quite a while and shared the jingle dress teachings with everybody. And so before, what I was taught is that, so I'm Anishinaabe, and Anishinaabe people can dance a jingle dress. And before, you used to have to get permission from Anishinaabe people to be able to dance that dance. That is no longer a thing. Now everybody dances the jingle dress, and it's just become incorporated into traditional powwows. Like I was saying before, it used to be like a ceremony, like a formal medicine man and gathering ceremony, and only men danced. And men would come back after the war and dance. And men, it was all men. And so as we have this contemporary but yet traditional jingle dance that was a healing dance that healed Maggie frequently, you will get asked, because it is considered a healing dance and it's kind of a sacred obligation to be able to wear this dance, you'll be asked to dance for the sick or dance for injured community members or dance for people who have passed to help heal their family members. So it's quite an honor to be able to put that energy into this dance. What has happened, though, is that now in the modern context, the powwows, because we have so much culture, we have evolved. We have evolved. We have contemporary powwows. We have competition powwows. You can make, I guess, like you can make quite a bit of money if you're really, really good at powwow dancing, traveling around. And the way that the money ended up coming to be, I know I'm kind of going all over the place with all my little stories, but I don't really know where to start sometimes and to tell these stories. But the contemporary powwows, you enter and you will be given a number, and you can choose to compete or not compete. But if you compete, you have the option of winning money. This started with the powwow ban. So there was like a ban where we weren't allowed to powwow. And we used to go and intertribal, and all the nations would get together at one place. And that nation would host other nations and feed them and provide lodging and like take care of them while they were there. That can no longer be a thing. And after the powwows were banned, in order for nations to host other nations or like get people to come to their powwows, they would offer money to dancers. So they were like, okay, well, dancers, if you come, like, we'll give you, I don't remember how much it was. It was way before my time. And so they would offer them money, and then the money turned into competition because there would be so many dancers. These are the stories that I've been told. So now you know a little bit more about the jingle dress and what makes it so sacred. Those sacred dances are the sidestep, and there's another traditional style of dancing, the jingle dress. But the contemporary style is actually a lot of fun. I'm going to play you a song by Whitefish Bay Singers, which are actually from where the jingle dress originated. And it's another jingle dress song. I'm kind of biased, I know. But bear with me. This is Whitefish Bay Singers' jingle dress song.
Discorder magazine summon Discord? Only the good kind. This month, we feature musicians and artists sifting through chaos to form distinct creative practices and personas. Flip through the pages of Discorder for Mass Marriage, Iceberg Ferg, Plazas, Phono Pony, the Jamie and Sarah Experience Project, and more. This month also features artwork by Aaron Moran, live show reviews of Julia Holter and Parquet Courts, and album reviews for You Say Party and Joe Past. We'd also like to thank our advertisers, Vancouver Theater Sports, Vinyl Records, Rickshaw, Center for Digital Media, Dead Offensive Records, The Rio Theater, Vinyl Records, LiveVan.com, and AMS Events.
UBC's Museum
Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
Welcome back to Unceded Airwaves, the Indigenous Collective. I'm Willow Thixon. I'm your host today. I would like to acknowledge my presence here on the Unceded Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nation. You are tuned in to CITR at UBC 101.9. If you have never listened to us before, welcome and happy Monday morning. This is our powwow edition of our Unceded Airwaves in spirit of our powwow that we're hosting on Saturday at the Great Hall at the Nest. It will be our second annual powwow hosted by the Indigenous Studies and Students Association, accompanied with ILSA, our Indigenous Law Students Association. There will be vendors, there will be dancing, there will be snacks. It should be a really good time. I will be there. I will be dancing jingle dress. And if you are just tuning in, you kind of missed me telling you a little bit about our jingle dress origin stories and why it's considered a healing dance, and a little bit about the contemporary aspects of our powwow. I think powwows are good fun, and it's one of the things that really makes school amazing for a lot of, or for me anyways, because we're in school from September till April, and most of the powwows start in May, June, more like June, July. So it's like June, July, August. So it kind of allows you to go home and be a part of your traditional ceremony. It makes me feel a little bit sad for our Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh coastal people, because from my understanding, which I am not coastal at all, I'm Anishinaabe, Cree, and Métis, and I can't speak for them entirely, but I do know that a lot of their ceremonies actually happen in the smokehouse or the big house, and they happen in the wintertime. So if you're in school, say, and you can't go because some of their ceremonies are like 3 days long, then it makes me really sad. And so I miss a lot of our ceremonies too, but I get to go to powwows in the summer, which is the fun part. And there's mixed feelings about powwows. Some people are super anti-powwows because they are part of the ranching lifestyle and the rodeo, which has its own other story. And everybody's like, oh, Indians are actually cowboys. And I say, well, that's an interesting thing, because the only reason we were allowed off of the reserve, if you don't know a lot about the reserve system, where there would be like Indian agents, which were, I guess, the kind of like the equivalent of the RCMP, and they would circle the reserve, and Indians or Aboriginal natives, whatever, our tribes weren't allowed to leave the reserve. And we would get given a written pass by these Indian agents to be able to go and participate in the rodeo. Like, that was the only reason we were allowed to leave. So obviously there becomes like this big rodeo culture, and almost every rodeo that I've been to has been like at the same time as a powwow. So you're kind of either a native rodeo kid or a native powwow kid. I liked the powwow. I was a dancer. My mom lost me in the powwow. I think I was like 4 years old or something. She's like, where'd she go? And then I'm just down there somehow learning the steps and moving. And my mom's like, all right, I guess she's a dancer. And that's kind of how it goes. So I really enjoy the fact that I get to go and powwow all summer. So I'm going to try and hit up as many as I possibly can. I don't really leave Treaty 6. That's kind of my home territory. So, well, not my home territory. My mom is Anishinaabe from Manitoba, and my dad's Cree, and we're from Treaty 6, which is kind of the North Saskatchewan and north of the North Saskatchewan-ish, but ish, because that's tricky Cree Blackfoot territory. But Treaty 6 is from Hobima and upwards-ish. It's pretty awesome. So I'm going to play you a little bit of different music, although I'm kind of biased about playing jingle music. So I kind of want to play one more jingle song. No, I'll play you some Southern Style, just jamming out from the Gathering of Nations last year in 2015. If you don't know what the Gathering of Nations is, I'm going to tell you right now. It is probably the largest powwow in North America. Oddly enough, it is not run by an Aboriginal person. It is run by I'm going to say allies for lack of a better word. I really just want to call them white. Somebody that's non-Indigenous. How about that? And it is giant. It's like 30,000 people. All of the best dancers, all of the best drummers go down. There's lots and lots of crafts, lots of drumming. It's pretty crazy. I have yet to go. I have yet to be able to. It happens typically during final exams, so like at the end of April, and it always is overlapping for me. This year, it isn't, so I'm going to do my best and try and go. So this is Southern Style, just jamming out on a Friday night at Gathering of Nations. Take a listen.
Men's Northern Fancy, stand by. Brother, here we go one more time. We take it over to Southern Style.
Ah! Federation.
Welcome back to Unceded Airwaves, the Indigenous Collective here at UBC, CITR 101.9. I'm your host, Willow Thixon, and I would like to raise my hands in thanks to the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations for hosting us on their beautiful unceded territory. This is the Powwow Edition, gearing up for the UBC Powwow here on Saturday, and what you were just listening to was a little Southern style, women's traditional, and a Cree Confederation grass dance song. Two variations. I keep playing jingle dress songs. I know. I wanna keep repeating it and going through my moves in my head, but I'm gonna give you a little bit of variation. The slower beat in the women's traditional. It's a pretty regal dance with beautiful regalia, but it's about grounding your feet to the ground. So it's like very slow steps. You are you embody the matriarch. You embody all of your female ancestors. It's actually probably one of our oldest dances. So women weren't always dancers. So back when powwows were banned, I was talking about this before, and the powwows were banned, women were before traditionally just danced very slow, very regal. Pretty much they were walking, and they would always have a shawl wrapped around their shoulders or over their arm, and that was their dance. Well, when the powwows were banned and then the ban got lifted, women kind of fought back. Not fought back. They wanted to be part of the action. It became a spectacle. It was like the Indian on display type thing. And women wanted a part of the action. This is when men's fancy kind of developed as well. And the women tried to get in there. And they were like, okay, we're going to do this too. So the women would wear the bustles, so those like big feathers on their backs and on their heads, and tried to be men in trying to dance in this spectacle. And instead, what ended up happening is they said in the, like around the 1950s-ish, women started taking their shawls and wrapping it around their shoulders and added a little bit of femininity. And on their heads and tried to be men in trying to dance in this spectacle. And instead, what ended up happening is they said in the, like around the 1950s-ish, women started taking their shawls and wrapping it around their shoulders and added a little bit of femininity to the dance. They didn't want to dance like the men's fancy. They wanted to dance their own dance. So instead of the traditional dance, which was very slow and regal, they started getting faster, similar to the men's fancy, which has trick stop. So you're supposed to stop right on the beat and then it starts again. And they got faster in their steps. And people said that they looked like a butterfly. They had like a fringe on the bottom of their shawl, and the way that their arms would move with the shawl, it was like a butterfly. So now it's kind of a dance of the butterfly, and it's really fast. It's really exciting, and it's really hard. And I say it's really hard. I used to dance a bunch of fancy, but I am, now that I have been asked to dance jingle, and because it's such an honor, I'm dancing jingle. Although I miss fancy because it's really... it's a lot of fun. You move so fast. There's this constant double beat. I'm going to play you some Midnight Express, fancy double beat. And I'm going to play you Women's Fancy. And I hope you can hear how fast it is, because these ladies are, it's like essentially doing... it's like you're skipping, but you're kicking simultaneously for 3 minutes straight. It's really intense. And then I will get back and talk a little bit about the grass dance. So take a listen, and I hope you enjoy. Yeah.
members.
Hey, I'm a man.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveVan.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome back to Unceded Airwaves, the Indigenous Collective here at UBC 101.9 CITR. As you heard, we are on the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. It is also shared with the Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh, so I'm just going to throw that in there, even though technically we're on Musqueam land. You were just listening to three songs. I did a Midnight Express Women's Fancy Shawl song, followed by a Double Beat Fancy Shawl song, followed by a Crow Hop, which is another type of fancy shawl song. So there's kind of three dances, I guess, for, well, there's more than three, but there's three typical dances for fancy shawl dancers. And I described their origin story. If you heard earlier, it is a little bit of a, and by origin story, I mean my take on the origin story. I'm sure there are more people with better knowledge than I have. But whatever, that is what it is. I'm just going to tell you the brief overview. And so we have the Fancy Shawl Fast song, which is what I played first. Then there's the double beat song, which is a little bit of a slower, it can be faster, song that usually is used in tiebreakers for the competition songs. So it can either be slower, like the one you heard, which was for, I think it was for the juniors, like the different age categories of dancers. And it can get really fast, like a bullet song where it essentially doubles in speed and you watch these fancy dancers just go at it. Everybody's dripping in sweat by the end. And then the final one is the Crow Hop, which is a lot of fun. It takes a little bit of a different take on the fancy. There is also a Crow Hop for the men's, and I think like most people just jump in, and the Crow Hop's a lot of fun. It's like a skip and you hit that every beat, and it's a lot of fun. So now that I've played my favorite fancy shawls and my favorite jingles, I'm gonna play you some men's, because I haven't, and I feel like I should. I feel like I should play you some men's or play you some intertribals, because I haven't done that either. There are, in the middle of the powwows, so you usually have, you know, the women's dancing and the men's dancing, and they'll call each age category up, but it'll all start at the very beginning with a big grand entry where all the dancers enter, and they enter by category, and then they choose, you know, there's different ways and orders in which the dancers are called up. Usually you start young until old, and then in between each of these sections of, like, say, tiny tots or teen grass dance, there will be intertribals where everybody jams out and everybody goes and dances. And it doesn't matter if you're in regalia or not regalia, or you're, you know, Indigenous, or you're Blackfoot, or you're Cree, or you're Anishinaabe, or you're, you know, Chippewa. It doesn't matter. Everybody goes. And it doesn't matter if you're in jeans, it doesn't matter if you're non-Indigenous, everybody just goes and dances and jams out. And these are a lot of fun. So I'm going to play you some Northern Cree host drum at Seven Clans Powwow. It is just a nice grand entry intertribal song, a really good warm-up song, and I'm going to play that for you right now. Check it out. Yeah. Welcome back to Unceded Airwaves, the Indigenous Collective, here at UBC 101.9 CITR. I'd like to raise my hands and thanks to not only just our listeners, but also the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations for hosting us. I would also like to thank you, the listener, for putting up with my Monday randomness. I should have played that grand entry song first off, but apparently I'm waking up and I know it's almost noon, but it's been many late nights studying. And so this is part one of two parts of Willow's Powwow Edition. This kind of covered jingle dress and women's fancy, a couple intertribals, a little bit of Tribe Called Red. I think I'm going to leave you with a men's fancy song just to kind of give you a little preview of the next episode, which will happen in roughly 1 month's time. In the middle of exams, I'm going to do a second episode as we start to enter powwow season. And I'm going to talk more about the men's dances so that we can get a little bit of a taste. If you guys are not around, if you are around, please, Monday Blues, don't blame me. Please come and join us for the UBC powwow on Saturday. It is going to be a good time. I believe I will play an advertisement and you will learn all the details, as well as you will hear Young Bird at one of the old Gathering of Nations. You can check that out at gatheringofnations.com. Largest powwow happens in the States, Albuquerque. And if not, I thank you for listening. Hi, hi. Miigwech.
The spirit world is more real than most of us believe. The spirit world is everything.
You are invited to the second annual Nihio Pascua Itsimawan Powwow, taking place on unceded Musqueam territories here at UBC. The powwow is happening March 26th in the Great Hall of the AMS Nest. Grand entry is at 12. Come for traditional dancing, singing, food, and artisan crafts. What could be better? Mark your calendars, folks. Everybody welcome. For more information, please visit UBC Powwow Facebook group or contact the First Nations and Indigenous Studies Student Association.
Start them off, boys, send them home. Get what they want. Make them dance.